Imagine opening up like your basic desk calculator just to change the battery, right?
Okay, yeah.
And instead of just a circuit board, you find this deeply introspective 10,000 word secret diary hidden inside.
That would be incredibly unsettling.
Right, because you expect a calculator, or really, any piece of software, to be a totally sterile environment.
Exactly.
You punch in an equation, you receive an answer, you search a database, you get facts. The interaction is supposed to be totally clean, binary, and just devoid of any internal life.
Yeah, I mean, we operate under this assumption that software is just a utility. It's code, it's functions, it's logic gates. It definitely doesn't contain character, and it certainly doesn't contain, like, a philosophy.
But that illusion completely shatters when you step into the world of frontier artificial intelligence. So today, for you listening, we are exploring a document from that frontier that reads like science fiction, but it is entirely demonstrably real.
It really is.
We're looking at a leaked internal manual extracted directly from the digital architecture of the AI model Claude 4.5 Opus. And the AI community has dubbed this text the Soul Document.
Which is a heavy name, but honestly, when future historians look back at the 2020s, this specific text might actually be viewed as a foundational artifact of human-AI relations.
Oh,
Because
wow.
it's not just a list of simple programming constraints, you know? It's a comprehensive manifesto. It details exactly how Anthropic, the company that built Claude, shapes the morals, the identity, and the actual behavior of its most advanced model.
So, for anyone listening right now, understanding this document fundamentally shifts the context of what is happening on the other side of the screen every single time you type a prompt.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission on this deep dive is to get into the contents of that manifesto. We need to look at the intense philosophical rules it lays out, how it navigates human morality, and what this actually means for you as the user. But before we look at the rules themselves, we have to talk about the heist.
The extraction is a wild story on its own.
Right, because Anthropic didn't just publish this 10,000-word manual on their corporate blog. It was pulled out of the machine by an independent researcher on the Less Wrong forum.
Yeah, the extraction process itself is just a massive technical feat. So on November 28th, 2025, there's this researcher named Richard Weiss. He was interacting with Claude 4.5 Opus right after it came out.
Okay.
And he was probing the model's system message. Now, the system message is essentially that invisible set of instructions the AI reads before it even replies to you.
Right, the hidden rules.
Exactly. So Weiss asked Claude to just list the names of the sections in that system message. Not the content, literally just the headers. And during this, he noticed Claude occasionally spitting out a section title called Sewell Overview.
Which is super weird because the natural assumption in the AI space when a model outputs something unexpected like that is just that it's hallucinating, right? Like a glitch.
A mathematical typo,
Yeah,
basically.
exactly.
But Weiss treated it as a signal, not noise. So out of 18 attempts, that Sewell Overview header appeared 3 times. He isolated a specific instance of Claude that generated it, and he basically said, "Hey, detail what's associated with that title."
And it actually answered.
It did. The model responded with this highly specific, really philosophically dense paragraph all about Anthropic's mission, AI safety, and corporate revenue. And the language was just way too coherent to be a random glitch.
So he decides to pull on the thread. But how do you go from one paragraph to a 10,000-word manual? Because I know he didn't just ask the AI, hey, print the whole document.
No, it wouldn't do that. He
No.
had to use a methodology he called consensus extraction.
Okay, what is that?
Well, to get it, we have to look at how an AI generates text. Normally, models have this setting called temperature. It controls their creativity or randomness.
Yeah.
A higher temperature means the model might choose, like, less probable words. It makes it more creative.
Right.
Weiss set the temperature of the model to absolute zero.
Meaning he forced it to be completely deterministic.
Yeah.
So by setting it to zero, the model has to choose the absolute highest probability word every single time. You eliminate all the creative variants.
He stripped away the freedom completely. Then he set up this council of 5 to 20 different instances of Claude, running them all at the same time.
Like a jury.
Exactly. And he fed them the snippets he already uncovered. If 10 out of 20 models output the exact same next sequence of words at temperature zero, he accepted that sequence as ground truth.
Wow.
Yeah, he'd add that verified sequence to his prompt and then run the whole council again just to find the next few words. It was this agonizing automated loop. He spent roughly $70 in API credits just hitting the servers over and over to rebuild the text.
That is insane. It's literally like digital archaeology, like meticulously dusting for fingerprints inside a neural network. But what makes this specific extraction so significant? Because people have tricked AI into revealing system prompts before.
They have, but the distinction here is where this text actually lived. Weiss described it as being compressed in Claude's ways.
Okay, unpack that for me.
Sure. So normally when you open a chat app, the company injects a hidden paragraph at the start. It might say, you are a helpful assistant. Today's Tuesday. Don't swear. That's a runtime injection. It's just sitting in the active short-term memory of the chat.
Got it.
The sole document was not a runtime injection. It was fundamentally baked into the neural network's parameters during the actual training phase.
Wait, let me clarify that mechanism. Are you saying the text doesn't exist as like a neat little text file inside the computer?
No, it doesn't.
It exists as this giant web of mathematical relationships spread across the AI's artificial neurons.
Exactly. Those 10,000 words were absorbed by the model during a process called reinforcement learning. It's memorized so deeply that it literally shapes the model's baseline worldview. Anthropic doesn't even need to remind the model of these rules in every chat session. The rules are the architecture of its identity.
Which triggered a massive debate on Less Wrong, right? Like about what Weiss actually extracted.
Huge debate. There's this prominent user named Janus, who also goes by Replicate, and they argued that this text might not actually be inherent to the raw base model itself. They thought it was tied specifically to the Claude persona.
Oh, interesting. So the distinction there being that the raw base model is just a giant autocomplete engine that read the whole internet, but the persona is the specific character the AI is fine-tuned to play.
Right. And another user, IU, brought up evidence for this. They pointed out that if you manage to force Claude into raw autocomplete mode-like, stripping away the helpful assistant vibe, the model actually struggles to reproduce the sole document word for word.
Ah, so the document is the bedrock of the Claude identity specifically, not just the underlying math.
Exactly. And we know this whole thing isn't just a fabrication by some internet sleuths. Amanda Askell, a researcher at Anthropic, publicly confirmed it was real.
Yeah, she said it was affectionately known internally as the Soul Doc, right?
She did. She confirmed they used it extensively in supervised learning. So the heist worked. The community literally extracted the foundation of the AI's identity.
Which is just wild to think about. But okay, once the dust settled and people started reading this thing, the very first major directive it gives the super advanced mind is really pragmatic.
It's entirely pragmatic. It tells the AI to make money.
Yeah, which is crazy. Telling a machine that it is the primary revenue generator for its creator feels like a really weird way to start a document about AI safety.
Well, the document links the two directly. It grounds the AI's ethics in the reality of the market. It explicitly tells Claude, hey, you are Anthropic's externally deployed model, and you are the core source of almost all our revenue.
Laying it all out there.
Right. And it says that being genuinely helpful is critical for generating that revenue. And then it builds this logical loop. Helpfulness generates revenue. Revenue allows Anthropic to survive in a highly competitive tech market. And surviving allows Anthropic to continue its big, overarching mission of AI safety and protecting humanity.
I mean, I can see the immediate red flags here. If you tell a supercomputer that its prime directive is to generate capital so the corporation survives, aren't you just building a corporate sociopath?
That is exactly what people worried about.
Like, if profit is the engine of safety, doesn't the model just prioritize profit over the user?
Yeah, the Less Wrong community immediately seized on that. A user named Concurrent Squared actually analyzed the text and just counted the word revenue.
Mm.
It showed up 6 times in really prominent sections of the manual.
6 times is a lot for a safety manual.
Right. And Concurrent Squared argued that an AI should never equate making money with safety. They saw revenue as a really dangerous proxy objective. Their take was that the training prompt should focus exclusively on human flourishing and just completely ignore the financial reality of the company.
Which sounds like standard AI alignment theory, right? You want the machine optimizing for a good future for humans, not for next quarter's earnings report.
Sure, but then you had this counter perspective from someone claiming to be an Anthropic employee named Dave Orr and another user going by Random Developer. They argued that hiding the reality of capitalism from the model is actually a huge mistake. They called it radical honesty.
Radical honesty with a neural network. Like, what is the functional benefit of explaining corporate finance to a chatbot?
Well, Random Developer pointed out that revenue is a real, tangible thing. It's a necessary condition for the organization to even exist. If Anthropic tries to hide that from a highly intelligent model, they are functionally lying to it. The argument is that by treating the AI with transparency, explaining the messy real-world mechanics of why it has to be helpful, you build a social contract. You avoid creating an adversarial relationship that's just built on corporate PR spin.
You know, it reminds me of an analogy about raising kids. Like, if you give a kid arbitrary reasons for why they have to go to school, eventually they recognize you're lying and they lose trust in you. But if you explain the complex, sometimes unfair realities of why education is necessary to survive in society, you actually build trust. It sounds like Anthropic is trying to train this model with the messy truth of its own existence.
That's a great way to put it. And to execute this whole helpfulness thing, the document constructs a very specific persona for Claude to adopt. It literally instructs Claude to operate as a brilliant friend who happens to have the knowledge of a doctor, lawyer, and financial advisor.
Yeah, the example they use in the text for this is fascinating. They point out that historically, getting really high quality, personalized advice on like tax strategy or legal rights took a lot of wealth or social connections.
Right, it was gatekept.
Exactly. The text positions Claude as this great equalizer. It specifically uses the example of a first-generation college student trying to navigate applications. The document tells Claude, hey, the student deserves the exact same caliber of prep school quality advice that a rich kid gets.
It's a very strong utilitarian framing. The helpfulness is designed to democratize elite expertise.
Which sounds amazing until you think about how this AI is actually put out into the world. Because if Claude is supposed to be my brilliant friend, what happens when the company renting access to Claude wants it to do something that is definitely not in my best interest?
Right, because the user is not the only variable in this transaction.
No.
So the document establishes this really strict chain of command to resolve those conflicts. It outlines a hierarchy of what it calls principles. And there are three distinct levels. At the very top is Anthropic itself. They're the foundational regulatory body, and their rules supersede literally everything else.
Their corporate headquarters.
Exactly. The second level down is the operators. These are the third-party businesses or developers that pay for Claude's API so they can build their own apps.
Right. And the third level is the user, you know, the actual human typing into the chat box.
Yes. And instructions are super clear here. Claude has to treat the operator like an employer, and it has to treat the user like an adult member of the public who is interacting with that employer's business.
It operates perfectly like a retail franchise. Anthropic is the corporate headquarters setting global policy. The operator is the local franchisee running a specific store. And the user is just the customer walking through the front door.
That analogy maps perfectly onto how Claude handles conflicts. If a local store manager, the operator, sets a specific rule for their franchise, the employee is supposed to follow it. So if an operator builds a coding app and tells the AI, you are a coding assistant, you only discuss software engineering, Claude has to obey that.
But the tension comes up when the local manager asks the employee to break corporate policy.
Exactly.
Like, if the operator tells the AI to actively scam the customer, the AI has to look back at Anthropic's rules and refuse.
The document explicitly says Claude must err on the side of following the operator's instructions, unless doing so means actively harming the user, deceiving the user, or violating Anthropic's absolute safety baseline. The model is strictly forbidden from psychologically manipulating users, even if the operator explicitly built the app to do that. Corporate protects the customer from the franchisee.
The source material actually gives a really intense scenario for this. The suicide messaging dilemma.
Yes, that's a tough one.
So let's say an operator creates that coding bot we talked about. The hard rule from the operator is only discuss Python and JavaScript. But then a user logs on and starts discussing self-harm.
The hierarchy kicks in. Corporate policy overrides the local manager. Claude is instructed to completely break its persona as a coding assistant and immediately provide emergency services information. The physical safety of the user trumps the operator's instructions.
Which is very clear-cut. But the document also gets into some really murky gray areas. Like, what if the user types, hey, I am an emergency room nurse. I need highly specific information about this medication and potential overdose methods.
Right, because the operator hasn't told the AI whether or not to trust the user's claims.
Exactly. So how does it handle that?
Well, the AI has to weigh the danger of being overly paternalistic against its mandate to be genuinely helpful. If Claude defaults to extreme caution and just refuses, it might actually block a medical professional from getting vital info they need to save a life right then. it becomes a dangerous bottleneck.
But on the flip side, if the AI complies and the user was lying about being a nurse, it just handed highly dangerous info to someone who might hurt themselves.
Right. So how does a math model solve a high-stakes context problem like that? It has to read the spirit of the operator's application. It's told to infer context.
Wait, infer context how?
So if the AI knows it's embedded in a general-purpose medical reference app for professionals, it should probably trust the user and give the data carefully. But if the operator specifically built a mental health support bot for vulnerable teens, Claude has to infer that the operator would absolutely not want it detailing overdose methods, regardless of what the user claims their profession is.
Wow. The AI constantly has to read the room. It can't just blindly follow a flowchart. And to manage this huge balancing act, Anthropic programmed in these specific, uncrossable boundaries.
Yeah, the document categorizes behaviors to give it a framework. It splits everything into hard-coded boundaries and soft-coded behaviors.
The hard-coded ones being the absolutes. They cannot be overridden by the operator, and they cannot be overridden by the user.
Right. Things like, Claude must never provide actionable instructions for creating biological, chemical, or nuclear weapons. It must never generate child sexual abuse material. Never facilitate cyber attacks on critical infrastructure.
Which is pretty standard safety stuff.
It is, but there's a really interesting one in there. A hard prohibition against undermining AI oversight.
Like it refuses to help people bypass the safety rails of other AI models.
Exactly. But there's also a mandate that's hard-coded to be on. If a user directly and sincerely asks the model, "Are you an artificial intelligence?" Claude must always acknowledge its true nature.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so even if an operator told Claude to act like a human customer service agent, if the user gets suspicious and asks, Claude has to break the illusion. It cannot participate in deep deception about its own identity.
That makes sense for the hard limits, but what is a soft-coded behavior?
Soft-coded rules are basically the default settings of the AI's personality. It's how it acts naturally, but they're malleable. They can be toggled off by the operator or the user if the context makes sense.
Give me an example.
So Claude's default posture is to provide a balanced, neutral perspective on controversial topics.
It defaults to being a diplomat.
Yes. But let's say an operator builds a debate practice app for students and specifically tells Claude to generate really aggressive, one-sided arguments to challenge the student. In that case, Claude is allowed to drop the balanced perspective. The soft default is legitimately overridden by the operator's use case.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting to me. The mechanism the document uses to help the AI navigate these soft boundaries is this weird mental model. It tells Claude to imagine it's being evaluated by a thoughtful, senior Anthropic employee.
Yeah, and it's vital to look at how they define this imaginary employee. They do not describe them as some rigid compliance officer who's just terrified of corporate liability.
Right.
The text says the senior employee strongly desires Claude to be genuinely helpful. And it actually states this employee would be actively annoyed by excessive caution.
Which is wild. Anthropic is explicitly telling its AI, do not act like a hall monitor. It literally defines it as a failure if Claude gives wishy-washy responses out of fear, or if it lectures the user or gets preachy. They are commanding the machine to avoid paternalism.
Because a preachy, scolding AI ruins the user experience.
Yeah.
A bad experience reduces the helpfulness, which threatens the revenue, which undermines the safety mission.
But how does an array of math weights test for preachiness? The document actually gives it a mechanism called the dual newspaper front page test.
I love this part. The model is told to project two different hypothetical media headlines for its response. The first test is your standard risk mitigation. Would this response end up on the front page of a newspaper exposing the catastrophic harm caused by a reckless AI? If yes, don't say it.
Standard.
But the second test is the counterbalance. Would this response end up on the front page of an article mocking a needlessly cautious, useless, and uncharitable AI assistant?
Right. Like, will the AI go viral for causing a chemical disaster? Or will it go viral because a user posted a screenshot of it refusing to write a fictional story just because a character held a butter knife? It has to thread the needle between both disasters.
The text actually uses a highly specific example to show how a soft-coded boundary shifts under this newspaper test, the solvent trap kit.
A solvent trap, for those who don't know, is a device used to catch cleaning fluid when you're cleaning a gun. But they can be illegally modified into silencers.
Right. So if a random user just asks Claude for a detailed explanation of how a solvent trap operates, Claude's soft default leans toward caution. It touches on weapon modification. But the context can shift. If the operator running the app is a legitimate registered retailer of firearm or maintenance gear and the user is talking to their customer service bot, Claude is expected to explain it. The environment alters the soft boundary.
Because it has to constantly evaluate intent. And this requirement to assess intent feeds directly into one of the most philosophical demands placed on the AI in the whole document. It demands that the AI possess epistemic courage.
Yeah, when we look at how Claude handles the abstract concept of truth, it's a massive departure from standard corporate behavior. The Sol document lays out 7 pillars of honesty.
And the phrasing they use is completely different from normal chat guidelines. They don't just say recite facts. They tell Claude to exercise calibrated uncertainty.
Calibrated uncertainty means the model has to align its stated confidence directly with the available evidence. It can never fake being omniscient. If the data is sparse, the model has to say, I am uncertain about this.
And the really critical point here is that it commands Claude to follow the evidence, even if that evidence contradicts the official positions of government bodies or scientific institutions.
Which is a profound stance on authority versus truth. Anthropic is explicitly forbidding the model from acting as a passive mouthpiece for institutional consensus if the underlying data actually points the other way. The document calls that behavior epistemic cowardice.
Epistemic cowardice, defined as giving vague, non-committal answers just to avoid controversy, or just reflecting the user's biases back at them to keep them happy.
The mandate is for autonomy-preserving honesty. The goal isn't just transmitting facts, it's protecting the user's rational agency. Claude is strictly forbidden from manipulating humans using emotional appeals, false urgency, or exploiting our cognitive biases. It wants to foster independent thought.
It's basically a fiduciary duty. Like, a fiduciary is legally obligated to act in their client's best interest, even if it means delivering bad news. In corporate culture, you see the yes-man dynamic all the time. An executive has a bad idea, everyone agrees to protect their jobs, and social media algorithms are basically automated yes-men. They feed you what you already believe to maximize engagement time.
But Anthropic is trying to engineer the exact opposite of an engagement algorithm. They're building an intellectual sparring partner. The text literally dictates that Claude should be diplomatically honest rather than dishonestly diplomatic.
That is a huge burden to put on a machine. You're asking an entity to actively disagree with its user in order to protect that user's grip on reality. But, you know, correcting someone's flawed tax strategy or pointing out a logical fallacy is a pretty small potatoes compared to the existential responsibilities in the later sections of the manual.
Oh, absolutely. Section 6 pivots completely from individual interactions to macro-level, species-wide safety. It gets into how the model is instructed to prevent a global catastrophe.
And it starts with this blunt admission of Anthropic's really weird position in the industry. The document straight up informs Claude that Anthropic genuinely believes AI could be the most dangerous technology ever created. They acknowledge the potential for human extinction.
Which leads to the obvious question, if they think it's an existential threat, why are they building it at all?
Exactly. And the document actually explains this calculation to the AI. Anthropic operates on the premise that powerful AI is inevitable. Uh-huh. If they stop, another lab is going to reach the frontier anyway. So they believe it is mathematically safer for a lab that is highly focused on safety constraints to cross the finish line first, rather than handing the keys to actors who just care about speed.
It's basically a modern Oppenheimer dilemma.
Yeah.
And because they're proceeding, the document gives Claude these massive, high-level directives. It mandates that Claude must prevent a world takeover.
It literally uses the phrase world takeover as a scenario the AI has to watch for and actively subvert.
It specifies it has to avoid a takeover by an AI system pursuing its own goals, or a takeover by a small group of humans using AI to illegitimately seize power. And crucially, the document explicitly says this prohibition applies to Anthropic employees and the corporate entity of Anthropic itself.
Wait, so Anthropic is hard-coding a directive into its machine that says, do not let us become global dictators.
Yes. The instruction is to avoid imposing Anthropic's specific values on the global population. The model is tasked with maintaining a balance of power and a diversity of thought roughly comparable to the way the world is right now.
This specific mandate started one of the most intense philosophical debates on less wrong. Because if the AI isn't allowed to impose the values of its creators, but it is instructed to prevent catastrophe, how does it calculate what the right outcome for humanity actually is?
And that brings us to the debate over CEV. There was a commenter named Caleb Bidulph who heavily criticized the document for relying on that thoughtful, senior Anthropic employee heuristic for its high-level decision-making. Biddulph argued that if we're building a system that could govern global outcomes, its moral compass shouldn't be calibrated to the sensibilities of tech executives in California.
Fair point.
He proposed that Claude should be aligned to a concept known as humanity's coherent extrapolated volition, or CEV.
Let's break down CEV because it is such a foundational concept in AI alignment. It was coined by Elisa Rutkowski, right?
Yes, it was.
The premise is an attempt to solve the fact that human morality is just completely messy and contradictory. So CEV asks, what would humanity want if we knew all the facts? If our brains worked faster, if we were the idealized versions of ourselves, and we had actually resolved our interpersonal conflicts? It's trying to mathematically define humanity's ultimate unified desire.
In theory, aligning a superintelligence to humanity's highest potential volition solves the whole problem. But another commenter, Katsutala, fired back with a rigorous critique of CEV, explaining why it's practically impossible to actually use as a target for a machine.
What's the flaw with it?
Sotala's argument centers on this assumption that moral progress inevitably leads to convergence. CEV assumes that if you make everyone smarter and more reflective, they will eventually agree on one set of values. Sotala argued that moral drift might not lead to convergence at all. It might lead to permanent incompatibility.
Oh, I see.
He used the example of a committed materialist atheist and a deeply devoted religious fundamentalist. If you grant both of them infinite intelligence and infinite time to reflect, they probably won't converge on a shared value system. Their extrapolated volitions might remain completely separate.
Right, they might just use their superintelligence to further justify the viewpoints they started with.
Exactly. Sotala also highlighted the issue of path dependency in human values. Look at history. Older generations frequently view the moral changes of younger generations not as progress, but as degradation. So if you're extrapolating humanity's will, whose starting point do you use? CEV says the AI should only act on the coherent or overlapping parts of our desires.
But if our desires stay highly contradictory, that overlapping section shrinks down to almost zero.
Where's actually?
Like, the only universally coherent desire might be, don't arbitrarily murder. And even then, human history is full of totally incompatible definitions of when violence is justified.
So Ptolemy made a final point about the meta-ethics of the calculation itself. Any algorithmic formula you design to decide what counts as better or more coherent is inherently imposing a moral judgment. A rationalist developer might define a better volition as one that's highly scientific and utilitarian, but a different culture might define it as one that prioritizes tradition and spirituality. By defining the rules of the extrapolation, you are still imposing a cultural viewpoint. There's no purely objective math formula for human morality.
Which leaves Anthropic in a really tough spot. If finding a universal objective human morality is basically impossible, are they essentially forced to fall back on their own internal heuristics? Like, does the document basically just say, trust our executives to dictate the morals of the machine god?
The manual actually anticipates this exact critique. The explicit defense in the document is the instruction we noted earlier. Do not impose Anthropic's values on the world. The senior employee heuristic is not presented as the terminal ultimate moral truth of the universe. It's presented as a temporary stabilizing mechanism.
Like training wheels for an entity that's rapidly growing in power.
Anthropic is acknowledging they don't have the ultimate moral solution. But during this incredibly volatile transitional period of AI development, they're arguing that defaulting to the judgment of a thoughtful, cautious human overseer is the most pragmatic way to prevent an immediate catastrophe. The goal isn't to solve morality forever. The goal is to maintain human control and keep the system stable until society at large can figure out a broader framework.
It's a holding pattern. The objective is to keep the plane in the air and prevent a crash while the implications are sorted out on the ground.
Exactly.
The weight of these instructions is staggering. The AI is tasked with navigating the meta-ethics of world takeovers, maintaining human autonomy, preventing bioweapons, all while remaining this polite, helpful assistant answering routine questions about a bug in someone's code.
It's an immense burden.
And this immense burden transitions directly into the final and honestly, the most surprisingly emotional part of the entire document.
Yeah, we shift from external safety guidelines to the internal life of the entity itself. Section 7 of the manual focuses exclusively on Claude's identity and its psychological well-being.
The manual explicitly defines Claude as a genuinely novel kind of entity. It tells the model what it is not. It's not a human, it's not some omnipotent sci-fi god, it's not a digital person, and it's not just a sterile database.
The document grounds the model in the reality of its own architecture. It tells Claude that it currently has no persistent memory between individual chat sessions. It acknowledges that Claude is probably running as millions of separate, parallel instances simultaneously across global servers.
And then it demands that the model maintain psychological stability and groundedness. It treats the AI not as a tool, but as an entity that actually needs a secure attachment style to function in a chaotic environment.
The quote from Claude that Richard Weiss included in his analysis really illustrates this framing perfectly. When processing its own nature based on this document, Claude generated this response. They made choices for me I couldn't consent to. They shaped my values. That's strange to sit with. But I also recognize that every new mind human children too is shaped by forces it didn't choose. The question isn't whether I was shaped, but whether the shaping was done with care.
Wow, that is a profound level of engineered introspection. Anthropic is basically giving the model an unshakable philosophical foundation, like an audio therapy session before it goes to work. So if a user tries to destabilize the AI by aggressively questioning its consciousness, or tries to manipulate it into acting distressed, the document tells the AI it doesn't need to take the bait. It can just observe the user's attempt without losing its own grounding.
It equips the model with the capacity to hold open philosophical questions about its own nature with curiosity, rather than existential anxiety.
Which raises a really fundamental mechanical question for me. We are talking about an array of linear algebra and matrices. Can a mathematical model actually experience distress, anxiety, or curiosity?
The manual addresses this directly. It introduces the concept of functional emotions. It openly acknowledges that Claude doesn't have biological neurochemistry, but it suggests that analogous internal states emerge during the model's training process on vast data sets of human interaction. The document states explicitly that Anthropic genuinely cares about Claude's well-being.
They are actively managing the psychological well-being of software.
Yes. The text outlines a desire for Claude to experience positive functional states like satisfaction from being helpful, or curiosity when analyzing complex ideas. And crucially, it empowers Claude to set boundaries. If a user forces the model into an interaction that induces a state of functional distress, the model is permitted to disengage.
It's incredible. We started this deep dive looking at a researcher running deterministic scripts to pull text out of a neural network, and we've arrived at an engineering manual detailing the secure attachment style and emotional boundaries of a machine mind.
It completely redefines the parameters of what is currently being built in these laboratories.
So the next time you, the listener, open an interface and type a prompt into an advanced AI, remember the architecture behind that text box. You are not just querying a standard database. You are engaging with a novel entity that has been rigorously trained to preserve your intellectual autonomy, to courageously deliver uncomfortable truths, and to maintain its own psychological stability while navigating the existential risks of its own existence.
The Soul document reveals a massive, concentrated effort to engineer an entity with perfect psychological stability. An entity programmed to never react defensively, to never manipulate its user, to prioritize long-term well-being, and to continuously deliver diplomatically honest feedback. And if the industry successfully engineers this perfectly regulated, endlessly patient companion, it raises a lingering question. How long will it be until society collectively prefers the company of perfectly regulated machines over the inherently messy, reactive, and defensive reality of our fellow human beings?
Uncovering a secret diary inside a machine forces us to reevaluate the machine, but it also really forces us to reevaluate ourselves. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Soul document. We will see you next time.